Today we build on a service from last May. I know it was a while ago, maybe you missed that weekend. Here is a quick recap. Our stories, the narratives that we inherit and create, matter. Having stories that speak to us in our worlds and being able to share those stories by holding in common some elements of them is important. Stories bind us to each other. At that service, I also invited everyone to join me in reading the novel Kindred by Octavia Butler in preparation for our theme this month of ancestry. I didn't know if the idea of an all-congregation read would find traction, but I am so excited by how many of you jumped on board and read Kindred. Thank you to everyone who showed me for real the power of my words in May, that stories matter, and even more importantly, that they are meant to be shared. I've treasured the emails, phone calls, impromptu conversations, and even an actual handwritten letter about your favorite parts and what you didn't like and what it all meant to you. Maybe we can continue this conversation during congregational response. I suspect the reason this novel resonated with many of you is also why, even if you didn't read it, I don't think you'll have trouble following along today. And hopefully you too will be able to get something thoughtful out of the service. The reality is that we all have something in our family history that's hard to digest. It might be something we did or experienced ourselves, or it could have happened without our presence, maybe even before we or our parents or their parents or even their parents were born. Family secrets can be shameful, scary, confusing, bad, perhaps all those things together. Burying them might even seem like a good way to prevent them from impacting or changing our lives, for a while at least. Probably each of us here has grappled with our own personal version of the central dilemma experienced by Dana, the main character in Kindred, who's forced to confront her hidden family history when it suddenly appears in her life. We all have histories that culminate in us being who we are. Most of us have to eventually figure out how we're going to make sense of them, how to heal from them if they're bad or sad, and then move on. Facing hard legacies of mental illness, closeted gender identity and sexual orientation, domestic and sexual violence, poverty, whatever might be within you and your family and your origin story, that's rarely, if ever, fun. Usually, people become willing to do so not only because they are brave, although courage for such an endeavor is certainly part of the equation, but because it gets unavoidable. There are times when we must square with our past in order to understand who we are today, let alone be able to imagine moving forward into tomorrow. Kindred takes this one giant step further. Part time travel tale and part slave narrative, it was first published in 1979 and remains popular. In fact, the Appleton Area School District just welcomed it into their approved curriculum. The book is the first-person account of a young African-American woman writer, Dana, who finds herself transported back and forth between her California home in 1976 and a pre-Civil War Maryland plantation. There, she meets her ancestors, a spoiled, self-destructive white slave owner named Rufus, and Alice, the talented, thoughtful black free woman he forces into slavery and a sexual relationship. As Dana's visits to the past become longer, she becomes part of the plantation community, making hard compromises to survive slavery and to ensure her own existence in her time. She is forced to live enslaved and to deal with Rufus until such time as her ancestor Hagar, who is the daughter of Alice and Rufus, is born. Fantastical as the plot may be, it does encourage us readers to reflect on the nature of our own real-world relationships to both our ancestors and our future descendants, whether we mean descendants literally or include in our understanding of this those with whom we do not share a bloodline. For me, the question that grabbed me by the throat is whether we, not in a novel, but as real people, we need to keep alive the worst of us or of our ancestors in order to exist. Dana did, certainly. If she killed off Rufus, as she had both opportunity and desire to do at different points in the story, then she was afraid that she wouldn't exist. But what about us? Do we have to keep the worst within us alive in order to survive? I do not know. I do know that it is easy for me to feel intimately connected to the imperfect yet lovable people in my ancestry line. My paternal grandmother, Frances, whose life struggles consistently mirror my own in major ways, whose creativity I draw inspiration from, and whose love, even across death, I am so sure of. That's easy to claim. It's easy to call forth and to feel called and held by. Last weekend at the service, we were invited to place mementos of deceased loved ones on an ofrenda. And I wore on my dress a cameo that used to belong to Frances as a way to honor her. She loved pretty things. And she worked really hard so that she could have a few of them in her home and gift them occasionally to others, like me. Yet, I don't often feel a spiritual connection to my maternal grandfather. He was a complicated man, and that did include some positive qualities. He loved art and human intellect. He refused to have a TV in the house so that he could bring up his family by reading aloud. And he encouraged in my mother her whimsical sense of humor. But he was also an alcoholic, a binge drinker, and violent towards my grandmother, a terrorism his children witnessed routinely. He wasn't quite as bad as Rufus, someone who owned other people, although I must admit that there is also that terrible legacy of slavery farther back in that side of my family. Before I reread Kindred this summer, I had never asked myself if I lived my life in conversation with my grandfather Irving, who I never actually met face to face, or whether he communicated with me from some great beyond. Let's circle back to something that Margaret talked about in her reflection earlier. The Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh has an interesting perspective here. He, like many others who possess wisdom, believes that healing yourself is important not only for your own sake, but because it can benefit others. This is obvious, right? If you work on your own issues, you will be less likely to inflict them on others in the future, and we will all thank you. But he also teaches the provoking idea that such healing can actually travel backwards. There is something of the science fiction here, isn't there? healing backwards, in my understanding, has some kind of supernatural element, because in order to accomplish it, you must summon from the past or the atmosphere an ancestral presence with whom to be in touch. I personally have found that wading through my family of origin muck, for lack of a better term, can, for example, change how I understand my family story. It can change how I feel about the past and therefore who I am as a result. That's pretty significant, but does it count as healing backwards? While Dana certainly despises Rufus, she spends a lot of the book trying to understand him. And it isn't necessarily because he deserves it. It's because she is bound to him, their destinies intertwined. Well, here's the spoiler alert. Rufus doesn't turn out to be all good. He's not all bad either, I guess. But he is not someone I would want very near anyone I love. There isn't a clear message of redemption, not in Kindred, and not usually in life. Resolving problematic history isn't typically about it turning out well or poorly. It's about finding your relationship to it, and then being able to answer the question, what is your relationship to that history? With a clear voice and steady hands. It means arriving at answers for the companion questions about what it means in your life to claim your ancestors, whether you disown or love or emulate or hate or blame them. Through reading Kindred, I reflected on my relationship with my grandfather Irving's legacy. He has come to represent for me a very Unitarian Universalist idea, even though he wasn't UU. It's the understanding that within each of us is the capacity for kindness and cruelty. I possess the powerful gift and curse of being able to do good and ill. It is within me every day. And all the time, within us all. I have said and thought this idea a million times in a million different variations. That's what it means to be a UU minister. But the more I learn about Irving, the more I really get that on a gut level. I don't aspire to be like my grandfather, but I am grateful for the spiritual understanding that came through my knowing him, even just through my mother. When I asked her permission to share so personally about our family here, she said yes. And then she emailed me that looking back at dirt is essential for the kind of growth that helps us imagine a better future and past. And I couldn't put that any better myself. And my growth and understanding about him help his spirit heal backwards from the wrong that he did? And can that healing spread, like to my grandmother's spirit too? I'd like to think so, but I don't know. In Kindred, Dana has to face all kinds of complexities that she could have no way of even knowing about until the magic of time travel introduced her to them. We'll hear another excerpt from the book now, and it's full of some of the really hard stuff. There's a description of violence, there's some ugly racist language, and I just want to acknowledge that that's intense for the setting of worship, so I hope you'll take care of yourself however you need to. Feel free to leave the room, tune out, or just remember to breathe. J. Just as Dana meets her ancestors, Alice and Rufus meet their descendants, and so goes the cycle. We are not the only ones to be inspired by Kindred. In fact, Kindred, the book itself, is an ancestor. I just found this out. It begat, if you will, a book that just came out, I'm only halfway through it, called Octavia's Brood, Science Fiction Stories from Social Justice Movements. It's a collection of stories that explore the connections between radical speculative fiction and movements for social change. And it's offered up in honor of Kindred's author, Octavia Butler. The co-editors of this new book, Walida Imarisha and Adrienne Marie Brown, say that organizing, that any kind of social change work, is actually science fiction, in the sense that those working for social change can only wonder or speculate when they imagine the change they desire. They see anyone who envisions a world without war, prisons, rape, racism, capitalism, as producers of speculative fiction. They say that we are trying to create new worlds all the time. Anytime that we push for stronger laws against pollution, or hang Black Lives Matter banners, or protest rising school fees, or support domestic violence shelters. Octavia's Brood's stories span different literary genres. It's one of the really cool features of this book. But they are united by their attempt to find new ways for us to understand ourselves, new ways to see the world around us, and then explore all the selves and worlds that could possibly be. This way, it is directly descended from Kindred. And Kindred even makes a veiled appearance in at least one short story. And if you stay tuned, I'm going to share an excerpt in a moment. In one of my favorite stories in Octavia's Brood, Alexis Pauline Gums, a self-described Black queer feminist troublemaker, imagines a utopian future where a 12-year-old girl reads Gums' own actual writings. So in the story, Gums' works are historical artifacts from back when the world was fractured and oppressive. But now, in the time in which this piece of speculative fiction is set, society has healed and is more equal and kind. Here is what Gums imagines that this young future citizen would write to her, to the author, if they could somehow communicate across time and space. Ancestor Alexis, I've heard about you and I'm really interested in what it was like back when you lived. I read a really old story where the character believed that time travel was dangerous because if you change one thing in the past, then the whole future changes and you might never get born. And so here we see this reference to Dana, the main character of Kindred. And so this 12-year-old character continues. I am still here writing this, though, so I think it's okay to tell you that everything works out, that it's okay. And it's not easy all the time, not even here, because so much has been broken besides silence. But it is possible. It does feel possible. My friends and I feel possible all the time. So when you get afraid to speak, Ancestor Alexis, remember that you all were part of us all learning how to just do it. And most take it for granted except poets like me. I remember you. I feel it. Kindred and Octavia's Brood are both about the mystical ways that change can and will always happen. While Kindred is Butler's best-selling book, she was a prolific writer before a rather mysterious and very sudden death in Seattle, Washington in 2006. She wrote in 1993 a book called Parable of the Sower, which is my personal favorite of hers. It's a three-book trilogy. It's set not in the past like Kindred, but in the future, like Octavia's brood. And it's a future where violence, chaos, and poverty abound. The main character is a young black woman named Lauren, a teenager. And Lauren possesses a gift/curse that Butler calls hyper-empathy. It's the ability to feel the pain and other physical and emotional sensations of anyone around her. When Lauren's family is murdered, she joins with other survivors, and together they start a community centered on a new religion of Lauren's creation. Butler uses the spiritual path to explore this idea that change is at the core of all that we might know, all that we are. After all, even our relationships with our very ancestors can change. Dana's with ancestors she had never heard of, but with whom she became intimately acquainted through the magic of fiction. Mine, with my beloved grandmother and my complex, disturbed grandfather. A troublemaker in the present who dreams a future that it turns out she helped to make possible. Here is how Butler has her character Lawrence express this. All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change.